Well, friends, it's good to have you with us again on another Friday afternoon, just here from the study. And I want to speak for a little while this afternoon about something that has come to the fore in recent days, especially over the last week or fortnight, the gay conversion therapy bill. Can I just say a few things about this from a biblical perspective? The first thing is simply this. Conversion is something that everybody is in need of. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." Conversion, in its biblical sense and definition, is quite simply a turning unto God, a turning of the life around, a turning from self, a turning from sin, and a turning to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That involves faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in the person and work of Christ, and it also involves repentance. Repentance is whenever we turn from our sin and we confess our sin and we endeavour to have done with our sin. And the Bible is very, very clear that unless a person is converted from their sin and converted to Christ, they will never enter the kingdom of God, and therefore they will never be in heaven. They will never see God, and they will never know what it is to walk in a relationship with God. So conversion is very important. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And the reality is that all of us need to be converted from sin and converted to God. It's something that's absolutely imperative, because the Bible says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And sin is the transgression of God's law. It's falling short of God's standard. It's stepping outside of the parameters that God has given in his law and given in his word. And we're born in sin, and we're sinners by nature, and therefore we are sinners by practice. Nobody becomes a sinner because they have sinned. We sin because we are born as sinners. And sin can manifest itself in a person's life in a multiplicity of different ways. Somebody might be a heterosexual sinner. They need to be converted. A homosexual sinner needs to be converted. A self-righteous sinner needs to be converted. An atheistic sinner needs to be converted. A relatively morally upright sinner needs to be converted. We all need to be converted, because all of us have sinned. And whenever we think of sexual sin, somebody might say, "Well, are you saying that homosexuality is a sin?" Well, let me just outline very simply what God's plan for man is with regards to sexuality. In the beginning, God created man. Male and female created he them. That's a biological male and a biological female. And God's plan is for a man and a woman to come together in marriage and to enjoy relationship together physically within the confines of marriage. So anything that is outside of God's standard, outside of God's parameter, because sin is a stepping aside, a going outside of God's boundaries, and also a falling short. So anything that goes outside of those parameters, relationship, sexual relationship between a man and a woman within the confines of marriage, anything outside of that, the Bible says, is sinful. It's not the will of God for us. So whether it's fornication, sex outside of marriage, whether it's unfaithfulness in marriage, whether it's polygamy or something like that, or a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman, anything outside of God's order is sin. And all of us have sinned, and therefore all of us need to be converted. That's the first thing. The second thing about this so-called gay conversion therapy: biblical conversion is not therapy. Biblical conversion is supernatural. The reality is that any pastor or preacher or Christian worker, evangelist, missionary, Sunday school teacher, youth worker, whatever it might be, elder, deacon, or just another Christian witnessing to another Christian, nobody has the power to convert anyone in the biblical sense of the word. So I have no ability to convert you. You might be listening to this and you're not a Christian. I would love for you to be converted and to come to know God, but I cannot convert you. And neither can some type of psychotherapy convert you to God. Conversion is a supernatural work of the Spirit of God, whereby God imparts faith and gives the gift of repentance, and the Lord turns a person's heart. We read about Lydia in the Bible. The Lord opened her heart. In the book of Ezekiel, we read about God giving people a new heart and causing them to walk in his ways and causing them to walk in his statutes. So conversion is not possible in a biblical sense through any course of therapy or any type of psychosomatic or medical treatment. Conversion is supernatural and conversion is spiritual. And undoubtedly, there have been conversion therapy courses, so-called, that are maybe still present. They've certainly been done in the past, and they're wrong. They should never have been done. So-called electric shock treatment and so on and so forth. Crazy. And certainly it's wrong. But the reality is, under God, anybody can be converted. And whenever a person is converted, their life and their heart and their lifestyle choices and their behaviour will change, regardless of what type of background they're from. Let me quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking. And he says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Then he says, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God." And you'll notice the people that the Lord includes there. Fornicators, sex outside of marriage. Idolaters, worshipping anything other than God. Adultery, that's unfaithfulness in marriage. Effeminate, homosexuality. And then again, abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexuality as well. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers or extortioners. And that includes, I think, every single one of us in the face of this earth falls into at least one of those categories. And the Bible doesn't put one category above the other. Again, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But as Paul writes to these people in this particular church about these particular lifestyles, he says in verse 11, "And such were," past tense, "some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." So they had been converted from the lifestyles that they were living. Regardless of how that was manifested, they needed to be converted. They were converted, and you'll notice it was the work of the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God has the power to convert anyone and to change anyone's heart. Jesus Christ spoke about this in John chapter 3 when he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Then he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So here we have it, this idea, conversion therapy. Listen, conversion is a universal necessity for everyone on the face of this earth. Conversion as well is not therapy in a biblical sense. Conversion is the work of God's Spirit. Now, if I go to somebody and they speak to them, or somebody comes and speaks to me about coming to God, about faith in Jesus Christ, about salvation, while that would be done in a very confidential manner, the reality is, if somebody comes to me and says, "Well, I'm a drunkard, I'm a gambler, I'm cheating on my wife, I'm addicted to pornography, I'm a homosexual, I'm a thief, I've been dishonest, I'm a liar," whatever it might be. "Or I'm just so religious and so self-righteous, and I don't need a saviour." And they talk, that's the way we all talk. I've been converted myself. But the reality is, if I disagree with you, and I disagree with your lifestyle, that does not mean for one moment that I hate you, or that I despise you, or I want to mistreat you, or I want to condemn you, or anything like that, or I want to persecute you. Not at all, because I'm sure many people listen to me and they think, well, I don't agree with what you preach. I don't agree with your Christianity. I don't agree with your Bible. That's okay. We all have the right and the privilege in this world to disagree with each other. But there's something about our culture, and very often it's the media and the powers that be, that bring in this divisive spirit and make it sound like if you fundamentally disagree with something somebody says or does, or something somebody has done, that somehow that means that you hate them. Listen, it doesn't. Jesus Christ condemned sin, spoke against sin, but he loved people. Regardless of their lifestyle, he showed grace and he showed mercy and a willingness to forgive and the desire to see their lives change. You see, you can choose to live whatever way you like, and you've got the ability to do that, but there'll be consequences for it, positively or negatively. And I know that there's all of this talk about changing laws and redefining marriage. The reality is, friends, you can't change what marriage is. Marriage is God's institution. God ordained it, God designed it, and God says it's between one man and one woman. Now, somebody might want to change that, and they give a different definition of marriage. All that they've done is they've given a different definition. They haven't changed what marriage is, they've just got their definition wrong. It's like gravity. It's an absolute law. And somebody might redefine what gravity is, and they'll find out, to their detriment, that they just got the definition wrong. They didn't change what gravity is. And we can redefine laws, and we can redefine sexuality, and we can redefine the human heart and human nature and human behaviour, and we can redefine all we want, but the reality is there are absolute moral standards in the Word of God, and we're not changing anything, we're just getting our definitions wrong. And I know that there are good people in government who love the Lord, and there are morally upright people, and there are people who want to safeguard the liberties of churches and preachers and so on. I'm thankful for that. I wish them Godspeed, and I wish them God's blessing. But friends, the reality is, if I'm a Christian, or a preacher, or an evangelist, or pastor, or you're a Christian, you don't need a piece of government paper to give you the permission to tell people what the Bible says. I'm not about giving my own opinion on things, especially whenever you stand behind a group of people and you speak for the Word of God. It's not about my good idea or my opinion or my belief system or what I think. It's about what the Bible says. And if it's in the Bible and it's biblical terminology, I'll be using it. And if it's not in the Bible, I'll be staying away from it. I don't want to get sidetracked. And I trust that you understand where we're coming from. But the lovely reality is, while all of us need to be converted, and conversion is supernatural, all of us can be converted. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. Going on a little bit longer today than usual, but trust that you'll receive this message in the spirit in which it's intended. Thank you for listening. God bless you richly.